Hey, folks, big thanks to everyone who came out last Thursday for our live digital experience on The Flash. That was a lot of fun. It went by in a flash, you might say. Terrible joke there, Andrew. The Q&A after party was a lot of fun, too. But hey, if you could not make it Thursday night, no worries. There's been a replay available ever since the show ended. Catch the replay at moment.co/WeHateMovies. That's end of day this Thursday, the 8th of February. You can still get the replay, the full thing. Our Flash digital live experience from last Thursday, moment.co/WeHateMovies. How does that sound to you, Melrose Place's Billy Campbell?
Oh, perfect.
What is going on, one and all? Welcome to On Screen Live for this Monday. Holy crap, February the 5th. My name is Andrew Jupin. I'm going to bring in some buds here because we got a lot to get to today. Trailers, box office, reviewing some things we've seen, and a little later in the program, revealing the three films we're going to be talking about on the spring leg of our 2024 tour. But first, let me bring in my buds. First up, still just so glad he's back, just beaming with joy, Mr. Steven Sadek.
No, Argyle, no. I didn't see it. I'm still not going to. If I could go to the movies this weekend to see Argyle, I know that I would have, but I couldn't.
I was this close. A little inside baseball. Steve and I got some drinks on Saturday.
Oh.
And some drinks on Saturday. And I kept saying, I think I'm going to go see Argyle. I was like, Steve, I'll hang out, have a couple beers, then I'll go see Argyle. And we drank like 10 beers apiece, and I did not go see Argyle.
No.
So that was Saturday. Hey, speaking of 10 beers apiece, oh, what were you saying?
To the end of the Knicks game. I went home and I tried to watch the Knicks game, but just no.
Fell asleep before halftime?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of 10 beers, Eric Siska.
Yes, I drank 10 beers by myself on Saturday.
Oh, no.
Didn't know you guys were getting together.
Neither did we.
I wouldn't have gone anyway. Don't worry.
No, you live far away. What's going on, dude? What's that t-shirt? Just a black t-shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, the classics. Yeah, dude.
Plain. You guys like plain t-shirts? How about you? So there's some good chat action happening. Where's this guy? I was going to mention him, but he went away. Oh, the people
B-Man, are talking too much. Carlisle Commons, Fortune's Daughter.
Tata Hababa, Wake and Baking to On Screen Live.
That's
welcome.
The way to do it.
Welcome.
Tata Hababa, good for you, my friend. Yes, welcome Andrew Klang, Rose, Busiris 87, Sandwich Jones.
Split Banana.
What happened there?
No, I just, someone's name. I just love, I love the creative names here.
Speaking of creative names, the bookmaster himself, a page master, if you will, Mr. Chris Cabin.
Let me put it this way. When Lorne took me into his office for the first time, he opened a portal through the mirror behind his desk. When he walked through it, he was going through an entire tunnel made up of the faces and bodies of former loved ones ripped apart to shreds. He said, "This is my kingdom. You are here forever, Jim." And of course, I was only there for about 2 years because my brother was only so forward to give me what?
Chris. Now we know you're reading the John Belushi part of the SNL book. Fucking put that away, please.
It was the Jim Belushi part of it, sir. He was only in for 2 years.
Oh, right. I meant to say Jim Belushi.
Wonderful.
I was blinded by my rage. Excuse me.
If you want to watch me steal that bit, you should tune into the Flash show that we just did, right?
That's
where
right.
I steal Chris's bit.
Yes. There is some bit bastard theft there. And pretty exciting for folks who might be on the fence about it, Steve. I got a little highlight reel we're going to play later in the program.
Ooh.
Maybe get some people intrigued. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is my bit in there? Okay.
Nope. No.
Is that my bit in there?
My dead bit in that sewer drain?
We're going to all have to start doing it. It's the only way to stop him.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, I'm not stopping. I'm a stubborn son of a bitch. That ain't happening. No, sir.
Speaking of stubborn sons of bitches, we got some birthdays to wish here. First up, happy, what do we got here? 76th birthday to beloved funny man Christopher Guest.
Wow. Famously stubborn. Famously. A pain in the ass, just classically.
You can see it in his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, also, definitely famously stubborn. Also, happy 76th birthday to Errol Morris.
Wow.
He's still looking more like Earl Sinclair from Dinosaurs Every Day.
You know why? He's got to lay off those Chipotle commercials, what he's got to do.
Mm. Oh, is he doing
You're right, Steve.
Oh, he's the one doing those Chipotle where it's like, wow. Oh, well, why are the ingredients so fresh? And it's like, well, we like to keep it fresh here, Errol Morris. It's like,
I haven't seen these.
That's insane.
It's been going on for years, you guys. Literal years.
Thin, fat line. No, thank
you. A lot of funny person birthdays today. We got SNL alum Tim Meadows. Ooh, he turned 63. The single white female herself, Jennifer Jason Leigh, 62.
Oh, yeah.
Great actor that we make fun of for absolutely no reason. Happy 60th birthday to Laura Linney. She's very talented.
Yeah, she's great.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Another big SNL day. We got the Chris Cabin's book reading and also Tim Meadows and Chris Parnell's birthday. Turning 57, looking way better in this photograph than I'll ever look in my life. That's just.
I've been rewatching 30 Rock, and he is so good as Dr. Leo Spaceman. I thought it was a smaller role, but he's throughout the series. It's fantastic.
Dude, regular. We're only in season two. Like, we just started season two on our rewatch, and like, Leo Spaceman, at least 10 to 15 appearances already.
Yeah, it's
fantastic. It's really great. Someone who never made it to 30 Rock, but has made a lot of kick ass action movies, Tony Jaa turns 48. And a filmmaker I think is really cool, Mia Hansen-Love turns 43 today. It's a lot of birthdays.
Just because it keeps coming up, I just want to see in the chat, is anybody like routinely watching Saturday Night Live? Like, are you folks out there like
good
living
question.
And dying with SNL?
Like, oh, I gotta get home. It's SNL.
Like a DVR. Don't tell me what happened to SNL. I want to know what funny bits happened this week.
I assume for like heavy duty TV watchers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like Catholicism. It's going to Sunday. It's going to the church on Sunday. You have to go and watch Saturday Night Live. You have to do it. And like, you've been doing it for so long. And it's like penance because all the other stuff is clearly better. Like, there can't be anything worse than Saturday Night Live out there. I refuse to believe it.
I made the moral choice to stop watching when they had Trump on, but I hadn't even been watching for 3 years before that. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
I was
just
like,
you know, I can't use that as an excuse.
I was like, either, I will never watch it again, even though I had been
for like hate watching it for longer, even after the Trump host. And I 2 years ago, I was just like, I can't keep doing this psychic damage to myself.
You were there for a long time. I remember.
Yeah.
I think it's been clips for so long.
If it's a clip breaks, show. Yep. If a clip breaks through, I'll definitely give that the shot. But
that's what I'm seeing a lot of people say. They'll catch a sketch on YouTube here or there. Mm-hmm. Someone says, never ever watched a live episode. Someone says, hasn't watched a live episode in 20 years.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Graham Hill, I like this one. Graham says, from the UK, so not even certain how I'd go about that.
You shouldn't. I genuinely don't think I've watched a live one since the Tina Fey years.
Yeah. Someone points out something that I will go to bat for also, because whenever I see him pop up, it is still always great. Ms. Melancholy says Keenan is still great on there. Keenan Thompson, one of the funniest people in America.
Year 50 of being on the show.
Seriously. Still managed to fit in two seasons of a television show and Good Burger too. Well,
that's crazy. The thing is that he had gotten rid of the bug to try out Hollywood already.
Yeah.
And he'd come back. So he didn't have that to move on to. He was always just going to be.
Get burned by the Fat Albert movie, Chris Cabin. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
of course you're going home.
Didn't they just put out another Good Burger?
Good Burger too.
Didn't you say I thought you said Fat Albert. I'm
sorry. No, I said Good Burger 2 before Fat Albert.
And Fat Albert eats good burgers.
and bad burgers.
Bad burgers as well.
But speaking of movies, we got to get to some grosses today because there's a real surprise in at number two. This is Highest Gross. So right off the bat, not a ton of surprises here. In at five, the staying power of these little birds, man, in migration, week seven. I mean, this is the classic, it is a drought for family films. Yeah. And, you know, please God, release something.
And kids have birthdays every weekend. What are you going to do? It's like, I guess we'll go see Migration.
It's not even that. I mean, there is a divorce. There's many divorced fathers out there right now
sure.
who have seen this movie now three times because they don't know what to do but take the kids to the movies.
And when they don't have the kids with them, they still go to the movie because they can pretend that they're having a loving family.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear two seats over from a happy family. Just,
speaking from real experience, my family would at least have gone to see Beekeeper at this point. My dad would have been like, we're going to see the Beekeeper. We're
going
to
right.
I want to see what that Beekeeper's up to.
And you definitely would have already have seen Wonka over the holidays, Steve. Rocking at number four here with 4.8 million. I mean, this guy, 572 million global buckaroos for Wonka.
I'm already dreading Wonka 2 Electric Boogaloo. It's
streaming now, and I couldn't get there this weekend. No. I was like, no, I'm not.
Is it still, what are we at though? Like, what's the stage of seeing it at home? $20 rental?
I think it's probably $20, which I usually don't mind because it's like, hey, if me and my wife are watching, it's $10 a ticket. You know what I mean? I play that game.
Ghost Pool, dude, and I was all alone on that couch.
The one good thing about the movie that when I did a review on Letterboxd, I even highlighted this. The one thing that you should, if you're going to watch it, it's shot by the same guy who shot The Handmaiden. So it looks incredible. If you
what movie are you talking about? Wonka?
Yeah, Wonka.
Wonka,
By the Park Chan-wook's The Handmaiden.
Great movie.
Incredible film. And like, so if you turn the sound off, if you don't like pay attention to what's going on and just like watch the movie, it's great.
But do they have a scene in that where they, like the original, like you fart to fly or something? Or no, it's burping, right?
Yes.
You burp to fly, I believe. Burp to fly?
They have gas. It's gas.
Come down.
And then you come down. There's something similar to that, yes.
The candy expands. Hey, Eric,
the farting thing, you're thinking of a 25-year-old Family Guy joke.
Really? Am I?
So they go to the Pawtucket Brewery and they drink an experimental beer and they start flying.
Or maybe...
to come down.
Maybe it was the big farting giant. That was a movie. Mm-hmm. He farts too, right?
Big farting giant.
Oh, I never saw it. I don't know.
Yeah,
big fucking giant is what the name is.
Sorry, guys. I guess I got farts on my mind because a few years ago I watched Fart the Movie and I've been not able to not think about it.
Was not aware. Shaking, huh?
Was not aware of that one.
You couldn't roll down the window and get that one out of your brain?
No, I couldn't. I'll just have to put a bullet in there. I think that'll clear it up.
Hey, speaking of movies I can't get out of my brain, in at number three, The Beekeeper.
Woo!
Now, Steve Sadak, maybe a little pocket review from you real quick, because I know you just recently saw it.
Yeah, we watched it. I know Eric did as well. I'll get his after this. My thing is, I loved it. Really had fun with it. I was glad that it didn't go as John Wick-y as it could have gone. Like, when the other beekeeper shows up, I'm like, there better not be like 10 more beekeepers in this movie. Thankfully, they keep it to the one. There's no hotel of beekeepers. I know, but there will be a hotel of beekeepers there. But the question I had, Jason Statham's character, is he a beekeeper because he was a beekeeper, or was he a beekeeper because he is a beekeeper? You know what I mean? Like, that's
because
he's keeping bees, but then he used to keep bees for a living. And then, like, you know what I mean? Did he want to keep bees because he was being a beekeeper?
It's such a rich text. We can't really know for sure.
I think he took the job first. I'm going to say that. And then that gave him the idea that maybe for therapeutic reasons, he could do this as a practice. And it seems to be, it was working up until a point, it seemed
like. I think, Chris, you're totally right. That's the theory I have, is when you're going to retire from the beekeeper. Because as you know in the film, Rich Tapestry, there's only a single beekeeper at a time. Mm-hmm. All right. Once you retire, the agency is like, okay, now you're going to take up beekeeping. It keeps the stress down. It keeps the animal at bay because you're a killing machine. You're a trained killing machine. And what can stop you from just going on constant rampages but the serene art and craft of beekeeping?
And plus, like, once your family gets a knows that you like bees, you're getting bee shit all the time. Every Christmas, it's like, oh, great, another bee. It's a bee jug for me whiskey. Oh, it's great.
Yep.
Eric, what did you think of The Beekeeper?
I really had a good time with it. I loved, you know, those action moments, like dragging the guy off the
bridge.
right then I was like, so that's it. I need eight sequels. I need eight sequels tomorrow. You know.
To his failure, though, Steve, what you're talking about, the failure of the beekeeper is that he does not get Felicia Rashad into beekeeping early enough.
True.
If she had been doing that, she would not have been inside on her computer being, you know, having being hijacked. You know,
it wouldn't have. The beginning of that movie, I was in my Rafflecopter, man, just living it. I was just in that Rafflecopter, loving it.
It's a lot of fun. It knows what it is, which is good.
Yes, it most definitely knows exactly what it is, and it's not trying to be anything else. Speaking of something that I presume it knows exactly what it is, in at number two, you guessed it, The Chosen Season 4, episodes 1-3.
Okay, this is the one where they fart, right? This is the one. Look at them.
Well, that's all the clouds up there. It's farting. The clouds up behind.
Rise up.
This is all farts.
It's a Jesus thing of something, some sort.
Okay.
It was a Fathom event, $6 million on, look at this, 2,300 screens. You got yourself a wide release, friend.
Yeah.
You know, it must have been suck to go to one of those Fathom events because it takes forever to get out of the parking lot because everyone's checking their car for zip ties on the door handle. Oh, they might be trying to get us the zip tie on the door handle. Yeah.
You make fun, but they're going to get you any day now. Any day. Walking out of your own Christian movie, they're going to be getting you.
Now, I know because I was scoping on Fandango advanced tickets for Dune Part 2 the other day. By the way, guys, don't worry about it. I got my ticket for IMAX 8:30 in the morning like a real fucking psycho.
We were sweating it.
I know. But so along whenever down the line that's coming out, these fuckers are definitely doing an episode 4-6 of this because I saw it in the listing.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. It's probably, it has to be dog shit, but like as a marketing thing, it's smart. Like,
absolutely.
If you're going to get these people to watch shit like that on TV, why not make a deal with Fathom and be like, we'll put it all, like 3 hours worth of it up on the big screen for the people who are really into this shit for some reason. And they'll pay the ticket. They'll do it 100%.
Only time I did one of those was when they did, way back when, my wife was more into Doctor Who than she is now. It was the one where all the doctors showed up and William Hurt was involved as well. Do you remember this? There was like a big, but it was like a movie that it was like a Doctor Who movie that was going to be on television at some point.
Yeah.
But they put it on Fathom first.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was like cool. You know what I mean? But this is just literally just television in public. It's a little embarrassing.
I saw television in public. I went to, remember they did like three episodes together of Game of Thrones and it was like a big battle episode.
Sure.
I went to that and it was fine, but I kind of wish I did. You know, you see the people you're with and you're like,
oh no. Oh yeah. You can't look left to right.
I know.
Doctor Who event.
just look straight forward.
It's on your own paper, Doctor Who screening.
I do think that, but saying what this and that, like, I think this is kind of the future. If you're thinking about what the next big market is, it's pushing Fathom to book more of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And like more up-to-date stuff, like a week of release kind of stuff, like before, like 2 weeks before something or other, a big HBO thing. It premieres on a Fathom event before it goes to HBO. And then people, like a big adaptation. I can't think of what it would be. Like, I was thinking of The Three Body Problem, but that's not even big enough.
I could see them putting out like The Last of Us or something into the theater. Sure. People love that.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. That would absolutely be the kind of thing you would do that with. Like, get three episodes, slap them on there, and people will pay 100% for that. Oh, shit.
Thank God. Thank God that these people are making money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I agree with Chris. I will never watch a second of this shit. I could not fucking care less. But I'm glad that the people who enjoy that kind of stuff are going out to theaters and doing shit at least. Because maybe when you're there, you notice something else is coming out. You go back to the theater or whatever. And this doesn't appear to be... Right. Yeah, and this doesn't appear to be like the insane fucking brain-pilled right-wing shit they sometimes put on these Fathom events. Because like, they'll strike a deal with whatever. They don't give a fuck. They'll play a Tucker Carlson special. You know?
Bumpy Jonas in the chat has a great idea for the next Fathom event. Becker. I mean, Shawnee Smith was just in Saw X. We it's got true. Shawnee Fever. Give us That's Becker true. In the theater, please.
But the time to do that would have been like when The Good Place was at the height of its powers. Like when Ted Danson was it. Right now, he's not really. Is he doing anything now?
The time would have been 1998, I think.
Yes, I mean, maybe it will. The time would have been never.
Hey, it's Becker.
For like a two-hour
Bronx sitcom, and you're poo-pooing it.
I am.
Look, they've done it for every other show on Earth. Why not do it for Becker and for Eric to make Eric happy?
Because if you put Ted Danson in that show on that big of a screen, you are seeing right through that hairpiece they have on him in that show.
Even better. Like, just give me a good view of that thing. I want to see where it connects.
I want to see all the nooks and crannies and the crumbs.
Ew. Speaking of bad haircuts, Superman's got a bad haircut in this Argyle movie, which was indeed number one at the box office with a not great $18 million because, guys, once again, so this is an Apple movie that they hired out Universal to distribute for them. This is somehow another $200 million budgeted movie.
How? As the person who saw it, how? I don't understand it. Like, if you were to watch it, you would never in a million years think it costs $200 million unless you're paying Bryce Dallas Howard and Sam Rockwell unimaginable amounts of money. Like, truly astronomical.
Maybe they had really good catering, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Craft but, services.
I mean, that cat, it looks like it's CGI. That's got to be $200 million right there, probably.
That's true.
They should put in one of the migration ducks instead because that movie was way cheaper.
You can't even get me a real cat. How about that shit? I just wanted a fucking cat to look at, and you fucking got this CGI thing fucking jumping around being cute. I'm like, get me out of here.
Like, is it one of those $200 million, but like half of it was advertising, or $200 million to make the movie?
$200 million to make the movie. Universal Universal's footing the bill for 50% of the marketing expenses.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now. It looks like this came out in the mid-aughts.
Yep.
I cannot believe this. I mean, it is number one at the box office, but such a disappointing debut with a $200 million budget.
Like he was saying, he wants to do a trilogy off of this. Like an $18 million opening, no trilogy.
You know what I don't want to hear? That's it. That's what you know, you try and get an original programming out there.
True. I don't want to hear that
right
shit.
On its face. I don't want to fucking hear it.
No, it's still so bad. If it's bad, it's bad. I'm sorry. Don't give me the, like, come on, let's keep it alive just for the shit to kill coming out the asshole. Like, I don't care. No,
what was that?
Let it die.
I didn't get it either. Wait, so Chris, you're the only one who saw this movie. Give it to us straight. What's going on with Argyle?
It's horrible. It's, I mean, if you've seen The Lost City, the Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yes. Tatum, okay.
It is another kind of ripoff of Romancing the Stone.
I thought Lost City was pretty fun.
It's
credit
fine.
Where credit's
due. I think Sandra Bullock, I'll tell you this much, it looks fucking great after this. Sure. After dealing with, the problem is it's a very desperate movie. Like, you're trying to make, you have no real confidence in the Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell thing, which is the center of your thing.
Right.
And then to make it a little bit more interesting, you have this weird actual Agent Argyle, like the version of her book. Mm-hmm. With Henry Cavill, Dua Lipa, a couple other people.
Wait. It's a book? Like, it's like Gumby? She's going to the book and the world's like, whoa, it's Argyle world.
You start off in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Of the book. And then you come out as like, she's the, Bryce Dallas Howard is the writer of the book.
And let me guess, she's in sweatpants and she's eating ice cream and she's like, can't get her shit together.
Very well appointed this whole time. It hasn't gone full Nancy Myers. I actually would have preferred that.
Okay.
Like, it's actually, she's dressed a little too nicely.
Okay, got it.
The Nancy Myers version of this would have been much better.
Is Cavill in the real world at all? Or is he just in the book?
No, he's not in the real world at all. I mean, like, the twist, I mean, there's several of them, but, like, the major twist is very obvious from, like, within 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Especially once the Rockwell stuff starts. But they add in, like, once you get to the Bryan Cranston versus Sam Jackson stuff.
Oh my God, this cast just keeps going.
That's your 200 million. There's your sign.
But like how like how much were you paying each of them? Because it would have had to have been a lot of fucking money to get to the, because the actual action of it wasn't like incredible. And like the computer, like I guess like to properly pay people would get maybe get you to that number, but you know they're not doing that. But like the problem with it is just it's just like convoluted as shit. Like there's too much stuff going on. None of it really gets you. None of it is interesting. If you're a diehard for one of these actors, I guess I could see you maybe being like, ah, they're maybe doing something a Sam Rockwell diehard being like, I, you know, I've never seen him that tired. Never. No, he's never been that exhausted. Never. I that's a new thing for him. Maybe, but like other than that, I can't see getting any joy out of this. Like it keeps on starting and stopping. It's a fucking disaster, man.
If you want to see Sam Rockwell tired, go watch See How They Run. Dude, did he sleep through that one?
Yep. Dude, that movie, super disappointing.
He looks like he's on a meth run as compared to this. I've seen How They Run. It's not very good, but no, like this is so much worse than that. And what I was saying that was confusing everybody is like, I don't want the movie business to just go on to just put out shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in it. The point is just to continue to put out shit, and then every once in a while, like, one big, great movie comes out. Like, we get Dune 2, and then the rest of it is garbage or mediocre at best.
Yeah, like, we want good shit, like The Beekeeper. Like, if you're going to be little shit, you're going to be a little shit-stained, go that direction.
Give the money to the style. Like, David Ayer, for what I don't like about him, like, he's a stylist. He can do a little, he can put a little pizzazz on the thing. But and that's all I'm looking for.
What about the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn? What about that? it
That's the thing, is it's all talk, right?
Yeah.
With Vaughn specifically, it's all about the jokey talk. And like, he's supposed to be an antidote to the MCU, like buddy-buddy stuff, because he's more violent. Mm-hmm. But like, at this point, it's the same. It's just the same. There's no difference. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even made that, like, the violence in this is stupid as shit. Like, one or two really bad ones, but other than that,
bleh. Well, that's too bad. So you think maybe we'll be talking about it in January or something?
If everybody's remembering it still, I don't know. It might just go to the sands of time. The worm might eat it up.
Speaking of something that's also going to go to the sands of time in a few days, folks, we had our live digital experience last Thursday on The Flash. Super fun time, by the way. Super, super raunch-tacular Q&A afterwards.
Oh, yeah. We get dirty, folks. We're being tame right now. I mean, I just heard Chris, like, could you believe how much he was cussing?
Yeah.
I was horrified.
The algorithm pointed me to this show because we were talking about The Chosen. He's cussing? He's cussing like that?
And he was saying Jesus was in a fart cloud? I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
But here's the deal, gang. You can still go to moment.co/wehatemovies right now and get that replay. Good to get the replay through this coming Thursday, the 8th. And if you're on the fence, if you're dancing on the edge of a knife about whether or not you want to check it out, here's just a few minutes from what was a fairly long conversation on last year's film, The Flash. Also, I'm just saying you replaced fucking Billy Crudup with Ron Livingston. Why don't we just change out some other actors while we're at it? And Grant Gustin's right fucking, he's right fucking there.
Here's the difference, though. I mean, and like, I'm not comparing crimes, et cetera, et cetera. But even you have to remove this person because they attacked the entire island of Hawaii, the entire state of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They just went island to island and started trouble in everywhere they in you local remember, karaoke bars, as I understand.
You remember that time that thing went off and all those folks in Hawaii were like, take shelter, the big one's coming?
Yeah.
It was actually just because Ezra Miller, they were farting around on all the islands. They were bothering people.
Uh-huh. It was Ezra Miller. They showed up before 4 p.m. at a bar like, oh, fuck, hit the alarm, hit the alarm.
We have to do the multiverse. We just have to. We have to do it.
The same cigar chomping executive, who might have been David Zaslav for all we know, who was like, don't worry, we got Ezra Miller. You know what? Actually, now that I think about it, you know what's better than one Ezra Miller? Two Ezra Millers. Mm-hmm. And this one's even more irritating. There's that part when Bruce Wayne is explaining to them string theory with the spaghetti. And this kid doesn't know how to eat spaghetti. It's like all over his mouth. And I'm like, awful. The one thing I know about this character is that he knows how to eat spaghetti. That's the only thing I've learned.
The whole fucking film is based around someone getting murdered while eating spaghetti or making spaghetti.
Spaghetti gets someone off a murder beef.
This movie hates The Flash. It just does. Obviously, it doesn't have any confidence in the product because they bring in Batman and Supergirl and numerous Batmen and all sorts of Supergirls and all the shit at the end to just sort of end Superman villains, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Especially at the beginning of the movie. Wouldn't it be cool instead of Batman calling Barry? By the way, he says Barry Falcone's son is trying to make it big. And now me as a Batman fan, I'm like, oh, wow, Tom Wilkinson's son is up to trouble. Now, you know what I mean? Like, yes. Wouldn't it be cool if this was like any of the trillions of well-known Flash villains? Heatwave robbed a bank. You got to stop this. Like, that's your first introduction into the movie is the Mirror Master is running amok in downtown Kansas
City. He's got great villains. Yeah, Heatwave, Captain Cold. There's countless ones.
But that is all the lack of the unbelievable lack of confidence that is on display.
Yes, of course.
Because like you would just be like, here, let's see the Flash. It's the Flash movie. Let's start with Flash. But you keep cutting to video game Bruce Wayne on his little scooter. Look,
we need we don't want to offend everyone. We got to get every Batman in here, you know, because the Snyder people, domestic terrorists, you know, the Tim Burton Batman people, too sad to live. We got to get them in there.
These nightmare creatures, you call them babies if you want.
They're not.
They are goblins from another dimension that I'd rather not ever visit. They are terrifying looking. None of them look real. I'm sure they're all AI generated. I'm sure none of them have the right number of fingers.
No babies were harmed in the making.
The thing. No babies were harmed in the events of this film because they get saved. But in reality, I'll tell you, watch it. You take a baby, you chuck it out a window.
Uh-huh.
Even if you catch it mid-flight down, you're jostling something forever.
You know what these babies reminded me of? You guys ever see any episodes of the old Muppet Show where they do sketches with these, not Muppet Babies, the cartoons, but like,
yes, like actual
baby-shaped Muppets.
Yeah,
okay. Like they just look like human babies, but they're Muppet puppets.
Gross.
Okay. Unsettling as the day is long.
Cabbage Patch Kids or something?
They kind of look like Cabbage Patch Kids kind of shit. These babies look like dead versions of those felt puppets.
But we have to catch up to Marvel, and Marvel is doing this, so we need to do that, and we're just going to jump. We're gonna jump to conclusions, mapping. We're gonna Ron Livingston's in this, so I can say
it. Yes. There you go. Dude, I guarantee you, Ron Livingston is. I just always kind of imagine him as his Office Space character, and I just Peter like just coming in like, oh yeah, hey Peter, looks like Billy Crudup just backed out of the movie. Y'all show up on Saturday, you know what I mean? Like,
yep. Yeah. Hey, you got it, Machete. I'll be there.
Kal-El, no. Don't give them the stone.
Don't kiss your cousin.
But so like it's like, oh man, are we gonna save the day?
No.
It's like, I will not save the day, but guess what he's gonna do, folks? He's gonna save the day. But we need, because we decided to take away his powers, we need to give him back his powers.
Yes. Oh, this fucking Frankenstein so shit, dude.
I don't Ben Franklin horse shit.
I don't understand. By the way, Batman also says, let's get nuts. He's going to help. Whatever.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Gotta do that. Here's the thing. Would you see that shot just really quickly? When you see that shot, it's, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. In between those two sentences, you see bats fly away.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's the last of Michael Keaton's dignity just flying out of the movie.
I think the last of his dignity was when he put on the second wig. The first wig is the Robinson Crusoe wig. This second one is Shatnerian. It is Star Trek 3-esque poodle upon his head.
So there you go, gang. Wow, look at that.
Yes, check it out. moment.co/wehatemovies. It's available now until Thursday.
That's right. And the Q&A is available with it also. I don't know if we clarified that little number there. All right, so moving right along, gang. Got a lot to cover here. A couple of things. I think one is looking pretty cool. I do not know what to make of the first one. A couple of trailers we're going to talk about in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment. So the first one, you know, Guy Ritchie, I think he's trying to get into like a Hong Sang-soo situation where he's making like two movies a year. This dude is just, he's putting out movies. This, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Oh my God. This is Guy Ritchie. I had no idea.
Oh yeah, baby.
It's downright unfair that we have to deal with Matthew Vaughn movies and Guy Ritchie movies. They both shouldn't be allowed to make movies.
Can I tell you, Steve, up until like putting the show notes together today, I thought that Argyle was a Guy Ritchie
movie. Of course you did.
It looks like it, yeah.
He's toned it. That's the thing is, I think Matthew Vaughn is like a version of someone who kept going after like, it seemed like that version of Guy Ritchie fell off after Snatch. Yeah. Like he stopped doing that kind of snappy.
Right.
I think and Matthew Vaughn picked that up. And now Guy Ritchie is doing like normal action movies mostly. Like that's what I've seen this trailer. It looks like a normal action movie. Like
it does.
But I'm tired of Guy Ritchie for my whole life has been Guy Ritchie. It's time for maybe you let Manpuri direct a few.
There we go.
Maybe you know, you find a pauper in the street, perhaps, as Britain has.
Yes, of course. I mean, many paupers. And many chimney sweeps that could be directing movies every day.
A couple of pauper looking people in this movie. So we're going to watch this trailer here, gang. This is out from Lionsgate, 419. So that'll make a good 420 viewing, maybe. Because this appears like it could be fun in theaters on that. But anyway, in the show notes below here, folks, if you're watching, you can watch along with us. We have links to both of these trailers. But yes, Guy Ritchie's The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. The problem is you're going to have a hard time selling this movie because people aren't going to remember this title.
No.
You shouldn't. This versus Snatch. I mean, you know, just as an example. Anyway, here we go. Check out this trailer. Chris, just use caution, trigger warning. There is a trailer before the trailer just to let you know. I want you to be taken aback there, buddy. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. His tongue's out a lot in this trailer, and I guess that's the thing.
So does this take place at like the turn of the century or the future? I can't tell.
World War II.
Okay.
This is based on a true story, I guess. I want you to lead.
Oh. Thank you, Sergeant. Oh boy.
Cary Elwes kind of getting like a British Suicide Squad together here.
Okay. We're losing the war. Oi.
Yep.
You get your asses in seats when you put Hitler in your trailer, huh?
Is that also evil Churchill?
Was that also Cary Elwes?
Is he doing Churchill? A jumbo?
Oh no!
Because it looks like Cary Elwes with like pudgy face makeup.
This is like the clumps or something.
Oh, dude, Man from U.N.C.L.E. By the way, I turned that movie right off. Oh, is this Reacher?
Yeah. I don't think Reacher's in this.
The big guy?
Yeah, hi, it's me, a British guy from the 1940s. You know what I want? An international team of men and women.
Yep.
Exactly what I'm looking for. England will be
condemned to a lifetime under the German. Oh, dude, Till Schweiger.
Of course. Yeah, what else is he doing?
Yeah, right there.
That is him.
Wow.
He's got glasses on.
Reacher's not wearing glasses, you're saying?
No, he is wearing glasses.
See, it's anachronistic, right? Because I don't think we had muscles that big back then. Like, the steroids weren't completely invented.
No, he took the Hulk serum.
What about the guy from Raiders? The guy that gets killed by the airplane?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like a once-in-a-generation big guy.
That guy looked more like Burly. This is like... Reacher's like working on each muscle, making sure it looks just right.
Yep, yeah, that's fair. I am liking all this Nazi killing.
Sure, yeah. One for uninteresting bastards, please.
Holy crow, that's
well done, dude.
I thought it would have been more. I don't know. I don't know about any of these ungentlemanly men, really.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know.
It's just, I mean, that's the Guy Ritchie formula now. Is like, get a bunch of manly men together to do some action stuff, or what in the case of the Covenant, just get one major megawatt guy to do something. And then, you know, just put them together, do a bunch of action, have them do, say, charm and shit to each other. Of course, that's a movie.
Oh, no. This just in.
What happened?
Do you know who plays Winston Churchill?
Oh, no. It's not Cary Elwes playing
You
a
wish
double?
It was. You wish.
Oh, James no. Corden.
Or Johnny Depp is playing no. Winston Churchill.
Yeah, could you put your head in the lion's mouth after all? Yeah. Do that.
That's oh man. Oh, so of course they're not fucking advertising
that. No.
Woof City, Johnny Depp is Winston Churchill.
Real quick, Blake in the chat, I agree with you. I liked Wrath of Man, so
good one. Occasionally it worked. Like the formula I'm does Richie. Work occasionally. Like it's not like The Gentleman sucks. The Covenant's very meh. But Wrath of Man is good, like a good action movie. And since this looks like more of that, like just bros doing blow 'em up shit, like maybe that's enough. Like Gentleman, The Gentleman was too much of the charmy, snappy back and forth talk.
Ooh, that was another turned off. Yeah, that's I think the last Guy Ritchie movie I've ever tried to watch was that, and it was off in 25 minutes.
Because there's no real action in that one. Like I forgive The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Wrath of Man. Because there's at least action set pieces that like are well choreographed, they work and like excites me a little bit. When like you get too chatty, I'm like, God, I don't care. Like, I don't want to hear what you have to think.
Speaking of something that looks like it's got some good action, it came up last week, so I wanted to talk about it. This Dev Patel Monkey Man movie that he directed, and the story was what was it? Jordan Peele saw it, was like, no, this has to go to theaters and not Netflix.
Netflix had, I think, commissioned it even. They might have done it with Patel, but Jordan Peele had seen an early screening of it somehow. I assume him and Patel are friends or something.
Or he's just a massively powerful dude.
Well, yeah. I don't know how like you are like, get me that movie. Get me it now.
That's how I like to assume it happens all the time.
No, I think there's something more, a little bit more structured. But he saw it and he was like, no, this is a big screen movie. What do I have to do? What do I have to pay? I think he got Universal on board to help with it too. I forget what the company makeup is, but he put in a lot of his own money. Monkey Paw is now part of the production credits. It into a limit. I think it's a limited, but a big theatrical run.
Yeah, no, I'm sure this will go wide. But like, so one thing, just to be critical of it for a second, and it's not the movie's fault at all. Someone saw John Wick, of course. I mean, this poster. Oh, yeah.
Everybody saw John Wick.
Someone should get sued. I think this is literally the John Wick 1 poster.
The Marlowe movie turns into fucking John Wick for a little bit towards the end.
I kind of wish it did, Chris. I see what you're saying.
There's pink and blue and red neon lights while people are twirl fighting. I'm sorry. That's a John Wick.
So,
and
yes,
then an aquarium explodes and it's awesome.
Marlowe, recommend.
It's fun.
Yes. Hardcore recommend. Anyway,
I have not seen this trailer yet. So.
Yeah. Oh, dude, strap in. I hope that this turns out to be a hardcore recommend. When this comes out it's another April movie, 4-5. Yeah, April 5th. All right, here we go. Monkey Man in 3-2-1, go. Yeah, Monkey Paw Productions. There it is.
There you go.
I like Dev Patel as an actor. This will be interesting to see him direct something.
Mm. Oh, I love him.
I think he's doing the thing of like, well, I guess I have to do it kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. Yeah.
I mean, he's great in The Green Knight, man.
Oh,
yeah. I love The Green Knight.
Absolutely. It's a little revenge tale kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe. The white monkey.
There you are. Oh yeah, dude, put on that monkey mask.
All right, God. I didn't know he was wearing a monkey mask.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this is gonna be a Halloween costume and a half.
Yeah. Oh, dude. We're seeing a new Halloween sensation born right here in this movie. Gets there, please. It doesn't turn out well for them. Ooh, face into an ashtray. This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff. Yes. Every day, I've I hope this style of music is the score in the movie, by the way. That would be great.
They better not kill that dog.
I know. You can't kill a dog. You cannot.
No. Nice and light. Let's boogie. Oh, he's got a fun little sidekick buddy. Sure. That's pretty cool.
He needs to be wearing the monkey mask more. I would like to see it in all these scenarios, like a monkey with a tuxedo on.
That would be pretty cool.
Ooh, glass to the eyeball. Hey, another broken aquarium, just like Marlowe.
That's good. This looks really good.
I'm very excited for this. I'm not always for the big John Wick action movies, but this looks good.
I like the drawing of the monkey guy, by the way.
Yeah, for all we know, the monkey mask might be in it more once you get to the damn movie.
Yeah. Oh, look at those dudes.
This better be all the scenes without the monkey mask, and the rest of them are all monkey masks.
You with the masks, man.
There you go. There's a monkey mask.
Fuck yeah. Just one small
ember. Ooh, monkey mask. Monkey mask. Oh, yeah.
Is that Charlotte Copley?
I think it is, actually. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes! All right, fellas. Like, I want to see some of the movie, man, when I see the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is going on for a while.
Monkey mask. You sold me very quickly already. Like, I did not need to see that much of the movie, man.
I agree. But
fuck, that looks so good.
It looks fun.
I mean, I wonder if that's part of, like, the fact that, like, you did have to do this whole deal to get it in theaters. They're like, okay, well, you're going to have to give us a huge trailer where, like, you give the audience, like, most of the movie. I guess. Yeah, right. Like, you can't do a teasy trailer with this one. Like, we want people in the fucking theater.
But do you think it'll do bananas at the box office?
Oh,
who knows?
Oh, well done, my friend. Well done. No, I cannot fucking wait for that. If they're smart, give me a little IMAX screening.
Yes.
Put that on the big one.
No. The Jesus TV show is going to be there.
Yeah.
Jesus TV show, IMAX, and also 4DX screenings.
Well, episode 5, 6, and 7 are coming out, baby. Can't wait
for the 4DX screenings of that show. You got actual nails in your hands.
Man, it smells like dust.
Oh, yeah. You're getting a bunch of like dust in your face. The seats bounce with every hammer whack. Yeah, no,
all the farts, of course.
A cloud of farts.
You know, a really fucking beautifully shot movie that I wish I saw in a theater. But hey, screener was fine. Not that. Where are we here? There we go.
Looks similar, actually.
Kind of similar. You're right. Actually, let's do that again. Yeah, there we go. And there we go. Uh-huh. Yeah,
okay. Wow.
Zoom out.
Camera one. Camera two.
This is an industry-wide problem. The art of posters, we just don't do it anymore.
Well, because if you've seen the other version of the Promised Land poster, it is the other... normal poster design of big Mads Mikkelsen and like the four supporting characters up his skin. Up
I hate that.
Yeah. That was, I looked at that one, Chris, and I was like, that's so bad. It looks fake. And passed it
this
right
one's
by.
Much better. This one is much better.
But yeah, this is The Promised Land out now from Magnolia. This is Nicolaj Arcel, who he directed, what was the
Dark Tower, man.
Yes, dude, that was a rough 97 minutes. But he's back directing this movie,
which I think is very, very good.
It's so good.
Enjoyed this.
It was Denmark's pitch for the Oscars. It was shortlisted. It did not get nominated, of course. But it's Mads playing a retired army captain who is going to go out on this like unfarmable heathland, and he says, like, I'm gonna turn the soil and I'm gonna grow shit, and if I do it successfully, you have to make me like royalty, I get a title and a house, like I become a lord. And they're like, yeah, okay. So it's just about him like trying to do this, but then like there's an evil land baron who's like threatened by him, and this dude's like a fucking total crazy, psychotic, like murderous guy. Like, and it's very structured like a Western. Yeah. Like he's the guy on the land, very soft-spoken, trying to just make a quiet living. And here's like evil land baron guy kind of coming in. They have like some Romani politics that's in place of like indigenous Americans that would be in American Westerns. It's fucking great. And, you know, Magnolia, I'm so glad they're putting it out. Like, go find this movie. I'm sure if it's not already, it's probably going to be streaming pretty soon. Yeah. I know it's in theaters down here. It's a fucking must, man. That Mikkelsen, Eric.
Yes. And that's the thing is he's, you know, like there's movies that he's done that like everyone's like, don't watch, don't bother with Polar or whatever. So it got to the point where I'm just like, you laughing, Chris?
Yeah, because I've seen Polar and don't bother. Why would you watch that movie?
Because I'm quoting you and you're laughing at it. But
isn't it called Arctic, that movie?
No, Polar.
Is it called Polar where he crash lands and he's the only person in the movie?
Oh no, that's a different one. No. Polar is him doing John Wick. He's literally, he did.
I'm just saying he's done a lot of stuff that you're just like, you know, I like him as an actor, but is he ever going to give us the juice again? You know? And this is it. He's great in this. I loved it. I love the villain. The guy playing DeShinkel is great.
Oh yeah. DeShinkel, man. And we're saying DeShinkel like all the time in the movie, which is pretty
and
great.
It's got good class politics because you know, the aristocracy is always trying to stop him and, Schinkel added D to his name to try to sound even more royal. It works on a lot of levels. It's playing with.
It has a lot of. I like the idea that it's not just they don't just leave it at the class politics. Though he has like it's a very pretty complex emotional relationship with Anna Barbara, the woman he works with closely,
and the widow that
and the child that they adopt. That stuff to me is just as important, and they give just as much care to the drawing of that in the writing and in the shooting of the movie. It's a very handsome production. It's exactly what I want from these kinds of movies. This guy has done a Royal Affair, which I don't know. Mads might have actually also been in.
That sounds like a Netflix movie that I watch around Christmas.
I think it definitely does.
Mads was in it, by the way.
There are some repeat actors throughout this cast, actually.
He was. I mean, the minute it was such a thankless job to give him the Dark Tower. You give that to Zemeckis or of course, not those guys now, but like a major director has to take on that. Denis Villeneuve, perfect idea.
Yeah, sure.
He maybe could take on such a thing, but to give it to this guy, like it was
never gonna work.
They just wanted to keep the rights, I think.
But anyway, hardcore recommend for The Promised Land. It is a robust, you know, period drama picture, but also staggeringly violent.
Oh yeah.
Which was pretty great. And by the way, I looked it up. 2019 Polar with Mads, 2018 Arctic with Mads.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I would actually recommend Arctic.
I've never seen Arctic.
It's a fun time. It's basically him as the only one in the movie because he's pulling a woman who like was injured in the plane crash and she's knocked out the whole time. So like it's just him surviving, very little dialogue. It's surprisingly captivating for that kind of a concept.
The only thing I will say about Polar is it is a rare beast in the wilderness. Like you don't see edgelord shit that pronounced anymore. you don't really. Like but it is, and it's just disgust. You're like, how did this ever, like the post-Tarantino wave, like all that stuff, how did this ever get so bad? And how did they bring it back? How did they try to bring it back for a minute? I don't know, man. It's horrible.
So anyway, hardcore recommend for The Promised Land. Now, we got to start wrapping it up, but we have to announce, we're true to our word, we have selected the films for the three dates down south that we're doing this spring. So get ready to lock and load, folks. Here we go. 4/25 in Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking Gamer.
Oh,
Gerard Butler's in Gamer.
Oh, I was really excited. This is like, this was, as I'm going through listener request month calls, this was requested a lot. So people are going to be very excited for Gamer.
Yeah, dude.
Being controlled by a boy.
It is.
Tell the boy to stop controlling me.
uniquely bad, and I cannot wait to revisit it and talk and meet all you fine folks in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See some of you fine folks again.
Yeah, and that's going to be at the City Winery, by the way, classing it up a little bit. I like that. So then that's April, and then May, we got two dates. We are hitting up our Space City debut, folks. We're going to Houston, Texas. We will be at the Houston Improv on 5/14 talking RoboCop 2.
Yes.
Filmed in your town because it looked worse than Detroit, apparently. I don't know what the logic there was. I think it was because the downtown is like quiet at night or something. But yes, RoboCop 2 filmed in Houston, and we'll be talking about it in Houston.
That's like, right.
And crime lords, all of it.
It's kind of a WLM for me. I love Tom Noonan in it. And
no, that's why, dude. It's W Heart M right there.
And I've seen that movie, but I was blackout drunk, so I'm going to have to see it again. Yes. This time I'm going to take notes. Add less beers.
How about take some Nuke?
Ooh, yeah.
That'll keep you up when you're studying.
I was disappointed to learn that that was not a real drug. As a kid, I was like, oh, it looks like a little like Kool-Aid. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Nuke yourself up, dude.
I can't wait till I'm old enough to take Nuke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And then the very next night, folks, in Austin, Texas, the love continues at Cap City Comedy because we're talking Robert Rodriguez from Dusk Till Dawn.
Honey, your hands like a dead man from a white oak tree.
This is going to be most of the show.
Yes, this is going to be an interesting episode.
And I will say that, and it's WLM, big fat L on this one for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
My most rented movie of all time, guaranteed. Really? I rented this for Blockbuster.
Really?
But for many good reasons. Uh-huh. That, the Tarantino head kids.
Right,
stuff.
The Tarantino stuff. You learned how to talk to women from his character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the tips.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know what? We'll save it for the show because I want to know why were we not just buying the tape?
That's a great question.
So we'll fill in the blanks. 5/15 at Cap City Comedy. We love movies. Is that right, Chris? That's what
I think I've answered the question.
That's always the answer.
I was thinking.
All right, folks. But that is going to do it. Those are the tour dates. WHMpodcast.com. You can get all the ticketing information on the tour page there.
Get those ticks.
They're flying, folks.
Yeah. They're flying. Yeah. 7 years we're back in Atlanta. First time ever Houston. 6 years back in Austin. A lot of momentous events happening on this tour. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed.
We were also having a lot of fun last Friday on Patreon. If you missed it, we dropped the We Love Movies episode on Dune 84. I have to say, loving the responses to the episode. We got so many Dune heads out in the audience, the Patreon audience, so that's pretty cool. And then shit going on this week, y'all. Prepare yourself for this. Tomorrow, we're talking Blast from the Past on We Hate Movies. That was a real suffering affair.
I gotta be honest, I saw a couple of more than a few people either on Reddit or on Patreon being like, it's gonna be a WLM, right? And I'm like, oh no, sweetie. Yeah.
But no. Remember, it's okay to like a movie. I think we do pay it some compliments. It is charming enough.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, you know, something that's gonna be in there, of course, commercials. And if you don't want any of those on your Blast from the Past episode, the $8 level and up on our Patreon can help you out. And again, speaking of the Patreon, Thursday, the very popular show, Once in a Lifetime returns.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking The Walls Are Watching.
Fucking hair.
Oh, my God.
Let's go, Richmond. I love him.
Everyone, do yourself a favor and watch this movie because it is bonkers.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's available at the top tier, the Walsh tier, $10 for that guy. We had a lot of fun discussing that movie. I think Chris Cabin almost jumped out of a moving car after he watched it.
I tried. It didn't work, but I tried.
But so that was a lot of fun. That's coming out Thursday, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. And remember, of course, speaking of Thursday, you have till the end of the day Thursday to check out that replay, moment.co/WeHateMovies for that flash program.
Can I announce something that's going to happen in 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, dude. Thank you. I almost forgot.
In 2 weeks on this very on-screen live broadcast on February the 19th, we will be revealing the listener request month winners. All the winners that will be pulled from a hat on Screen Live, not on some other stream. It'll be here.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So we're going to be doing the show, and we will have a whole big honking segment with us pulling stuff out of hats that we have lying around the house.
I do want to assure people I will not be using this hat. I'm going to bring out another hat for this specifically. I don't want people getting upset. I understand. Right.
Also, please stop calling. The lines have been closed for 4 or 5 days now, and we're still getting calls. And God bless you, folks, but it's been over for a while.
Oh, wow. And my dog thinks that the show's over, so we're going to wrap it up here, folks. Hey, Marty, let's quiet down. We're going to wrap it up here, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great week. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.